I love coming to church on Sunday morning, praise God. And I know the Father loves for us to be here. Amen. Now, for those of you guys that know me and my wife, y'all probably have seen pictures of our little granddaughter, Avery, that we don't really like to talk about a whole lot. Amen. But I know this much. When I know she's coming over, I start getting excited. I start singing little goofy songs about her, praise God, because how much I love her. And I know that on Sunday mornings, the Lord knows my kids are coming into my house. They're coming to be with me. Now, you know what? You can worship the Lord at home, but there's nothing like coming around the people of God and worshiping together. There's just something about it. You know, those when you're weak in faith, those around you are strong, will help buoy you up. And those around you that need help, you can help them. Praise God. Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. So why don't we just thank Him this morning for a moment. Lord, we thank You. It's so good to be in Your house this morning, Lord. It's so good to be together with the people of God. Lord, Your presence is here with us. Your presence is here with us, strengthening us and lifting us. Praise the Lord. We just worship You today, Lord. We thank You for all Your goodness. We thank You for Your goodness, Lord. You're so good to us. We can never say thank You enough for how worthy You are, how wonderful You are to us. Oh, Lord, we just praise You and thank You. We thank You, Father. In Jesus' name, as we approach Your Word, Lord, we thank You. We're going to see something today. We're going to see light and revelation and get wisdom from the Spirit of God. We're going to walk out of here different than we came in. Praise God. In Jesus' name, amen, amen. Praise the Lord. Amen. Well, I'm so thankful to be here with you today. You know, Pastor Mark started teaching a little bit about understanding the Bible. He did an awesome job talking about the accuracy and the integrity of God's Word. So we're going to talk about that a little bit today from the standpoint of what I've been teaching about acknowledging God. So I'm going to ask you to turn your Bibles to Proverbs chapter 3 and verse 5. They'll put it on the screen. Amen. Now, we're heading into the holidays. Can you believe that in just a couple of weeks, we're going to be in the holidays? And you know, at this time of year, people face pressures and stress they don't normally face any other time of the year. You're around people that you're not around any other time of the year. And you know, that can wear on people. You know, Brother Greg Moore likes to talk about people in your life that are your sandpaper people. People that just rub on you. They don't lift you, they lean on you. Anybody have any relatives like that? Anybody know anybody that has relatives like that? Amen. So we're going to go to the Word today and just feed on some things, praise God, that will help us during this time. And help us have a great holiday season and be ready to go into 2020 excited. Amen. You know, people of God ought to be excited about what He's doing in our life. Yes. Amen. Amen. And you might hear some things today that you've heard before, but you know, I found that for me, if something's old to me, it's probably not real to me. Mm. Praise God. So let's look at Proverbs 3, chapter 3, verses 5 and 6. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart. Do you trust Him today? Yes. How about concerning the holidays? Can we trust Him concerning our holidays? Yes. And lean not to our own understanding concerning the holidays coming up. You know, Jesus wants to be involved in your holidays. You know, sometimes we just think that's just the way it's going to be. I'm going to get around those family members, those people that I'm not used to, and I'm just going to trudge through it, endure it, and that's just the way it is. There's nothing I can do about it. But no, the Lord wants to be involved. Because He says in verse 6, in all thy ways, even at Thanksgiving and Christmas, acknowledge Him and He'll direct you. He'll direct you in all our ways. You know, there's nothing in your life that the Father's not interested in. That's right. The very smallest detail of your life, He wants to be a part of. Amen. And then we also looked at this in Philemon. It's just one chapter, verse 6. He says here that the communication of thy faith may become effectual by the acknowledging of every good thing which is in you in Christ Jesus. You know, there are so many good things in you that's put in you by Christ Jesus. Amen. The communication of thy faith. Faith has to be communicated to yourself, to each other, to the Father, to the enemy, even concerning the holidays, because Jesus wants to be involved. And we can trust Him during this time. Praise God. We want to acknowledge everything the Father's put in us by the new birth. Now, we talked about a little bit about what it means to acknowledge. We'll just review that for just a moment before we get going. The first meaning of acknowledge is to know. You know, when you know something, you're sure. You know, we can go into this holiday season facing the new year sure about something. Amen. We know Him. We know His nature. We know His character. Praise God. You know He's with you, and you know He's for you. The second meaning of it is accept. When you accept something, you receive it, you respond to it, and you welcome it. You just take it for granted that what the Father said is true, no matter what I see and no matter what I feel. Amen. I was thinking about while we were singing that song, No Longer a Slave to Fear, that you know that the Lord sings songs of deliverance over us. He was singing over you today while you were asleep, before you ever got up. And I just thought about this. I thought about, what about all those 25 years that Abraham was waiting on the promise? The Lord just kept singing over him, you're no longer a slave to fear. You're my friend. You're the righteousness of God. And what I said to you, you just watch and see if my word won't come true to you. So the Father's just saying, you're no longer a slave to anything. Praise God. So accept it. Take it and acknowledge it. And He says recognize is another meaning. You know, the Lord wants us to have a higher level of awareness, to recognize Him when He's working in our lives. Just like our song this morning, He's working when you don't see it. When you don't feel anything, that seed is working on the inside of you. And we have to recognize it. You know, so many times we can have an animal level of awareness where everything we do is just reaction. We react emotionally. We react in the flesh. Praise God. Brother Stephen was talking about that this morning, about somebody jumping all over him in his work one time and how he reacted in love. You did an awesome job this morning, brother. I thought that was awesome. It was really good. And you know what? I was thinking about you this morning, how soft-spoken you are. But even though you speak softly, it has a big impact. Praise God. And what the Lord's bringing in you two in right now is just the beginning. It's going to influence people. Praise God. What you and Elizabeth are seeing right now, the gift in you, the calling on you, just get ready. Praise God. Because that soft-spokenness is going to hit with a large hammer. Praise the Lord. Amen. But he was talking this morning about how he just reacted in love. And we want to have that higher level of awareness to recognize what God's doing. And also to express or display gratitude for, to be thankful. To be thankful. You know, I'm learning more and more in my life. I'm in a very competitive business in what I do in my job. But I'm learning more and more in life to quit looking at what everybody else is doing and just be thankful for what the Lord's doing in my life. I can't be concerned about what they're doing or how many sales they're making or how much money they're making. I'm looking at what the Lord's doing in my life. And then lastly, this is my favorite. When you accept something, you just declare it or state it emphatically. You boldly proclaim it. You express a strong belief. You insist on it. And then my favorite is one of those meanings is to make no bones about it. Now, I got so blessed this week, guys. I just got a big grin across my face. I went running to find Melissa. We've been listening to Brother Andrew Womack's teaching on You've Already Got It. You know we've already got it. Everything's done at the finished work of the cross. And he's been teaching on that. And the other day, he was introducing his television show. And he said, this morning, I'm just not making any bones about it. We've already got it. That just blessed me because I've been meditating on that so much. Praise God. But you know, when it comes to who we are in Christ, we're not playing any games. Amen. You have to, and when you continue to acknowledge the Lord in this way, I've learned that just whatever's going on in my life, Lord, I acknowledge you. I trust you. I trust you with all my heart. And you know, he'll quicken something on the inside of your spirit. It might be a verse of Scripture. It might be something to speak out or declare. It might be something to pray. It might be do this or do that. Well, just recently, most of you know that know me and Melissa that this is the busiest time of our year for our work. And so I begin to hear, we're right in the middle of this, and I begin to hear my coworkers begin to talk about things like, I just can't get caught up. I'm so overwhelmed. I'm swamped. I'm literally drowning in what's going on. And I experience those feelings too. It's a busy time of year. And so I begin to acknowledge the Lord. Lord, what about that? I want to stay caught up. I don't want to get behind on my stuff. You know, what do I do about this? He said, what do you want? I said, well, I want to stay ahead of the game. I want to be caught up. You know, not only is it our busiest time of year, but they also threw a new, what we call a CRM, a customer relation manager database on us. Something brand new that we've never done. For 10 years, we've had a different one. And now right at the busiest time of the year, they throw another one on us. So if that didn't complicate things even further, they threw a new software for our enrollment portal on us, all at the same time. So it's easy to start beginning to feel like the walls are closing in. I can't get caught up. So the Lord said, what do you want? I said, I want to stay caught up. He said, and that's what you talk. You don't talk all this, I'm drowning stuff. You don't talk all this, I'm behind stuff. You don't talk all this, I can't get caught up stuff. So the Lord gave me a little psalm to begin to speak. He said, you go around and you say, I'm so caught up, I'm ahead of the game. I'm so organized, I'm not going to miss a thing. I'm on top of everything, and I'm not going to get behind. Amen. I'm all up to date and I'm keeping everything in line. Amen. Praise God. I begin to get excited now.
Yes.
Amen. I begin to say things like, I've got plenty of time. I'm never late. I'm always focused. I'm keeping things straight. Amen. Now, I want to stay ahead of the game. I want to be a leader. You know, I don't want to just be one of these that's just in the middle of the pack. I want to be a leader to my coworkers. So I started to say, I'm a leader and I'm an example. I'm ahead of the pack. I always make good choices, and for wisdom, I do not lack. And I'm acknowledging Him to lead me. So I'm saying, you know what? I'm divinely guided by the Holy Ghost. The Lord is my shepherd. I know His voice. Praise God. Amen. I acknowledge the Lord. He directs my ways. He's ordering my steps, and He's keeping me from making mistakes.
Amen.
And you know what? As I've gone along, I can tell you guys with all honesty and sincerity, and I told Melissa this this morning, I said, we're right in the middle of the busiest time of my life, and I said, I'm looking for stuff to do. I'm so caught up. Praise God. I'm so caught up. I printed this out, and I put it on my desk. I don't care who sees it. If somebody sees it, I'll testify to them. This is what the Lord is doing in my life. I'm talking caught up. Praise God. Amen. Any of you that like that, we'll send it to you. Praise God. Get us your email. We'll send it to you because you talk caught up. And it don't just have to be at the busiest time of your life. If you're a homemaker or if you're retired or you're a teenager in high school, so many times kids these days are just overwhelmed with their sports and their homework. Teach them to talk caught up and ahead of the game. Praise God. It works. Amen. Now, 1 Samuel chapter 30, we also looked at this in verse 6. David was going through a time where he was facing some stress. Amen. He was behind. In 1 Samuel chapter 30, there's a time when David and his band of merry men came home and their houses were all burned and their kids and their wives were kidnapped. That's not a blessing.
No.
Worst of circumstances, it said David and those guys cried till they couldn't cry anymore. That's a bad situation. When you cry till you can't cry anymore, you've hit rock bottom. But it says in verse 6, David was greatly distressed. You know, people are very greatly distressed sometimes when it comes to this time of year, the holidays. A time that should be the happiest time of our year, people are distressed and depressed. It said, people spake of stoning him. That's when you love being in leadership right there. You didn't do anything wrong. And the people are talking about stoning you for something that was not your fault. Amen. Amen. It said, and the soul of all the people was grieved, every man for his sons and daughters. But David encouraged himself in the Lord his God. The word for encouraged there is strengthened. David strengthened himself. Well, you know, we want to go into this holiday season with a strong spirit about us. Amen? A strong spirit. A strong spirit. David encouraged himself and he strengthened himself. Now, let's look at Proverbs chapter 18, verse 14. Now, guys, I'm going to ask you to put this up in the Amplified Classic if you could. Amen. I'm looking forward to going to Thanksgiving and Christmas strong in my heart and excited about going into 2020, praise God. And we can strengthen ourselves in God. We can encourage ourselves. You know, Brother Rob Rufus talked about this, that those of us that encourage ourselves are able to encourage others. That's a strong spirit right there. Now, Proverbs 18, 14 in the Amplified Classic said this, the strong spirit of a man sustains him in bodily pain or trouble. That word trouble there is pressure or stress. But a weak and broken spirit, who can raise up or bear? The strong spirit of a man sustains him in bodily pain, but a weak and broken spirit, who can raise or bear? So, you know, so many people have a wounded spirit about them. They're disappointed. They're distressed. You know, you can tell when your spirit's getting weak if you're frustrated all the time, bitter all the time, complaining all the time. Praise God. But a strong spirit will sustain you. You know that spirit on the inside of you will buoy you up? It'll sustain you. It'll supply you. There's a supply of the Spirit of Jesus Christ in your heart because that Spirit of ours is connected with the Holy Spirit, who is our advocate, our standby, our strengthener, our comforter. Amen. It'll maintain you. It'll cause you to stand. Praise the Lord. Another word for sustain there is to withstand pressure. When pressure comes, you know, pressure never comes at you when you're ready for it. Anybody ever heard of the Kansas City Shuffle? The enemy wants to get your attention all focused over here somewhere with all the, what I like to call shiny object syndrome, and all of a sudden, boom, pressure hits you when you weren't looking. You know, you don't get up in the morning and say, you know what, I'm just ready for pressure. Come on, devil. No, you know, we really don't like pressure. We really don't want pressure. You know, but, you know, I've always liked this saying that where there's no pressure, there's no diamonds. Amen. Praise God. But that strong spirit will keep you going. It'll also restrain you. You know, the Bible tells us that the love of Christ constrains us. There's times we need to be in these times when we face meeting with our sandpaper people, those relatives of you that yours that are 100 grit. If you know what I mean by that, 100 grit. It don't take much. You just rub all the skin off your hand with 100 grit. But restrain us. As a matter of fact, the Hebrew word there for sustain in that verse is the word cool. K-U-W-L. You know, we can have a cool spirit about us. Praise the Lord. A cool spirit about us. That's a spirit that's strong and sustaining us. You know, this may date some of us here, but y'all remember the Fonz? He was the coolest of the cool. But you know what? There's somebody on the inside of you that's way cooler than the Fonz. The greater one on the inside of you will sustain you. He'll restrain you when you need to be restrained. And He'll put you over and supply you. Praise God. And we want to approach this time with the attitude Paul had. Let's look at Romans chapter 5. God is so good. Praise God. Let's thank Him for a moment. Lord, we just thank You for Your goodness, Lord. We just thank You, Lord, that You're the greater one on the inside of us. We worship You today, Lord. We just thank You, Lord, so much for Your presence here today. Praise the Lord. We love Your Word, Lord. Praise the Lord. Romans chapter 5, verse 1 says this, "Therefore, being justified by faith." Aren't you glad? You know, Abraham just had a promise, but we got the real thing. Amen. We've got the promise that we're justified by faith. We're righteous by faith. And we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Going into this holiday season and into next year, we can have peace with God by faith. Doesn't matter what's going on. Doesn't matter who's rubbing you the wrong way. We can have peace with God. By whom we have access by faith into this grace. You know, we've been taught for so long that grace has provided everything we need, but we access it by faith. We take a hold of it by faith. We accept it by faith. We give thanks for it by faith. And we make no bones about it by faith. We acknowledge it. And not only so, but we glory in tribulation. Now, most of us that came up like I did would say, "Paul, that is not a good confession, that you glory in tribulation." But he said, "I glory in tribulation also knowing." We know something. Amen. We know something. We can glory. Now, that word tribulation is just the word for pressure and stress again. That strong spirit is going to buoy you up in pressure and stress you face. Troubles. Knowing something. That tribulation or those pressures and stress is going to work patience in us. The word patience there is steadfastness, endurance, and consistency. And patience, experience, and experience hope. You know, when you've overcome pressures and stress, and you've got experience at it, you've proven it, praise God, then you've got an expectation of good. You know that on the other side of that, you're coming out on top. Now, folks, it's just a fairy tale for us to think that pressures and stress are not coming our way. I don't know if any of you realize that yet or not. For so many years, learning about the integrity of God's Word, those of us just really wanted, you know, all our problems to just go away and not have any pressures or stress. But Paul said, "No, I take glory in it because I know something." Praise the Lord. And we, you know what we want to do is that we want to approach pressures and stress from a place of victory. So many times, the thought pattern is why is this happening to me? Well, because we live in this earth, it's a fallen earth, and we have an enemy who hates us. Praise God. But if we approach it from a place of victory, knowing something, that when pressure and stress comes my way, I'm going to overcome it, I'm going to come out on top, and I expect to win. That's a whole different attitude of why this happened to me. You know, I had something happen to me just a couple of weeks ago. I was at work and having a great day, minding my own business, just doing my thing, and all of a sudden something didn't feel right. You ever had that happen to you before? It's just something just didn't feel right. And as the day went along, it got worse. And I walked in the doors. Melissa looked at me immediately and said, "What's wrong?" I said, "I just don't feel right." I said, "Okay." So I still had to go and take care of my dad. Had to go over and help him do some things, and it was my turn to go, so I had to go. But I tell you what, I was feeling like really bad. My hair hurt. I hurt so bad. That's bad when your hair's hurting. Your eyelashes hurt. So the best I could describe to you is that it felt like I was getting the flu. I haven't had that, anything like that come against me in years, but it was just hurting so bad I could barely move. But I got through what I needed to do and got home. But Melissa and I had already decided we've already got it. It already belongs to us. Healing belongs to me. It's in my born-again spirit. And what I got to do is I got to accept that no matter how I feel. I've got to recognize that it's in me. I've got to thank God for it, and I've got to start making no bones about it. Let me tell you something. I didn't feel like making no bones about anything. All I wanted was a pillow and a cold rag. Ever been there? So we got home, and I laid down and just began to thank God. Didn't feel like it. Last thing I wanted to do. But praise God. I went to bed that night, and I woke up several times during the night just feeling rough. But then Melissa came and checked on me about the time my alarm would go off, about 6 o'clock. And I woke up and said, you know what? I feel about 80% better this morning. And so I got ready to go to work. I knew I had to go to work. Had a busy day. And as I went through the day, as I went, it got better and better. And by lunchtime, I was 100%. But I'm telling you, you have to know something when that pressure comes at you. You have to know on the inside. And I could have laid down under that and quit. Because believe me, I wanted to. But praise God. When you know something, you'll go through pressure and stress. And that strong spirit on the inside of me sustained me through that bodily pain and trouble. Praise God. Amen. Because like I said, we want to encourage ourselves and each other, because pressure is not going to come when you're looking for it. It's not going to come with a sign or a flag or something to say, I'm pressure, I'm stress, I'm coming your way. Let's look at Nehemiah 8:10. Now this morning we're just going to feed on the Word. We're going to feed. This is kind of like a pre-Thanksgiving meal. Praise God. Amen. Amen. Nehemiah 8:10. This is the Amplified Classic again, guys. It says, then Ezra told them, go your way, eat the fat, drink the sweet drink, and send portions for him for whom nothing is prepared. That sounds kind of like a Thanksgiving meal. Eat the fat, drink the sweet, eat the pie. And he says this, he says, for this day is holy to our Lord, and be not grieved and depressed, for the joy of the Lord is your strength and stronghold. That's a strong spirit. The joy of the Lord is your strength and stronghold. Why? Because you know something. We know something on the inside. A strong spirit is a joyful spirit. And as you encourage yourself in the Lord, it's going to cause that joy to rise up on the inside of you. Because you know, when you're not trusting the Lord, you doubt. You despair. You complain. You're sad. But when you're trusting Him and not leaning to your own understanding, you're rejoicing. You're giving thanks and you're glad. Praise God. Because we're not leaning to what we know. We're giving thanks. Praise the Lord. You know what I've been praying about next year? I've been thinking so much about 2020. I've just been hearing these words at 2020. It's going to be a year of plenty, praise God. Like being a thing of the past. Amen. We're going to go forward. We're not going to look back. Praise the Lord. We're not looking back. I keep hearing a year of extra and a year of more than enough for the people of God, for our church. The future's bright and we're going to walk in the light. Amen. We're going to have some fun. Amen. We're going to have some fun, praise God, because we're growing. We mentioned this Wednesday night. I don't know if you realize it or not, but we're in an atmosphere of growth here. Our leaders are growing. Our leaders are growing, praise God. And because of that, everything around them is growing. You know, many times we have to ask ourselves, if things around us are stagnant, or we're stuck in life, or things aren't going well, I have to ask myself, am I growing? Am I growing? Am I expanding? Am I gaining? Praise the Lord. Because if we're satisfied with what we were happy with 5, 10, 15 years ago, we have to ask ourselves, are we satisfied with that? Are we growing? Are we looking for fresh revelation? Are we looking to hear from heaven every day? Can He take even what we know? You know, the Lord is so wonderful and so magnificent that He can take all established truth that you've ever known your whole life and give you new light on it every day, and give everybody around you on it new light every day, every moment of every day, for the rest of your life, and it still be in line with His Word, edify you, and point to Jesus Christ. Amen. And for each and every person here, it might be different. That's how unsearchable He is, His wisdom. Praise God. Now let's look at Proverbs chapter 4 and verse 20. Like I said, I'm just kind of, we're going to take a little bit of just a pre-Thanksgiving spiritual meal. You know, if you're like most people in modern day America, you know, I know when our kids were growing up, we would make the rounds. Anybody make the rounds on Thanksgiving and Christmas? Our kids, we'd go to my mother-in-law's house, first thing. And I'd save up, you know, because I want to eat. I mean, you know, we're not doing any diets or, you know, intermittent fasting and, you know, ketos or nothing like that. This is all hands on deck. We're going to eat whatever we want to eat. So I'm saving up. And we get to my mother-in-law's house and there's just food everywhere, on every table, every counter. It's just everywhere. And you just eat. And you eat. And you eat till you can't eat anymore. and then you watch the football. But I know this now, I've eaten all I can eat, but the second that I could feel just a little bit where I could eat some more, I'm going back in there for some more. And my sister-in-law always makes these things. Y'all, you know what Buckeyes are? Oh my goodness, those little peanut butter balls, the chocolate, oh, I could eat my weight in them. Hallelujah. And the minute I feel like I got just enough room to eat me 4, 5, 6 Buckeyes, I'm going after them, praise the Lord. And then I know, might go in there and watch a little more football and doze off a little, but I know in just a little bit we're going to my sister's house or my brother's house and we're going to eat again. You know, we all have the vision of the Norman Rockwell painting with everybody sitting around the dinner table and Mama comes out with the 50-pound bird, you know, and everybody's ready to eat, you know, the Griswold family Christmas type thing. Everybody's just excited. And you eat and you eat and you eat. And see, that's the way the Lord wants us to be about His Word. We feed on it. We feed on it, praise God. He said here, my son, attend to my words in Proverbs 4, chapter 4, verse 20. My son, attend to my words. Incline thine ear to my sayings. Pastor Mark started talking about this last week, about just inclining our ear and attending to that word as the most important thing in our life. Don't let it depart from your eyes. Keep them in the midst of thine heart. I will say this, guys. I found out just in the last few years how important it is to put that word before your eyes. You know, we're really big about teaching and listening to things, but you need to put it before your eyes. Amen. There's just something about putting your eyes on the word that affects you. For they are life unto those that find them and health to all their flesh. You get enough of that word in you for long enough, it'll bring life to your body. It'll bring health to anything you're dealing with. And he says here, keep thy heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. Now that word issues is an interesting word. It's the word for boundary. Boundary. And that's what we're talking about, being in an environment of growth again. Boundaries. You know, our own boundaries flow out of us. A lot of times we think people are holding us back. But praise God, it's what's in our heart flowing out of us that sets our boundaries. And we can continue to grow. We can continue to enlarge the place of our tent. Because, you know, the human spirit was made for expansion and expression. He wants us to continue to expand and to grow. And then everything around us begins to grow. You know, sometimes, I'll just say this, sometimes you have to outgrow where you are for promotion to come. I found that out many times in my life. You got to outgrow where you are. And once you do, promotion is there. You don't have to strive for it or struggle for it. Amen. Praise God. Psalm chapter 1, I'll just read this, verses 2 and 3. This is from the Message translation. Just continue to feed on the Word. Now, we're just going to feed on the Word this morning. We're just going to get full this morning. Can you engage with me this morning and feed on the Word? Praise God. He says in Psalms 1, the Message translation, instead you thrill to God's Word. How many of you, God's Word thrills you? Oh, praise God. He says this, I love this, you chew on Scripture day and night. Chewing on Scripture day and night, that's feeding on the Word. Just continuing to feed on it. You're like a tree planted in Eden, bearing fresh fruit in every month, never dropping a leaf, always in blossom. That's me. You know, I talk that. I don't talk, you know, I'm not going to decrease at any age. I'm talking always in blossom, always bearing fruit in my life. The Passion Translation, I like this. It says, they'll be standing like a flourishing tree planted by God's design, deeply rooted by the brooks of bliss. Now, doesn't that sound a little bit like Psalm 23? He leads me beside still waters. He restores my soul. Praise God. You know, there's restoring of soul this morning, folks. There's restoring of soul as we feed on this Word and drink in of Him. Bearing fruit in every season of their lives. I'm talking that. Praise the Lord. I'm talking that. Bearing fruit in every season of my life. It doesn't matter how old I am. I've told you guys before that I'm speaking these things when I'm 60 and 65 and 70 and beyond, 80, 85. I'm going to be bearing fruit. That's what I'm going to talk. And this comes from feeding on the Word because it's alive. You know, Pastor Mark did a great job last week talking about the integrity and the accuracy of God's Word, but he also talked about how alive it is. Yeah. That Word is full of life. It's not just words on a page. It's not just characters and ink and paper. It's life. It's a living God is what it is. He said, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. This Word is God. It's not just words that we read. It's alive. Praise God. Let's look at Revelation 19, guys. Verse 11. I just want to read this. Every time I read this, I just want to shout. You know, it's okay to shout this morning. Praise God. Hallelujah. Revelation chapter 19, he said this in verse 11. And I saw heaven open, and behold, a white horse. And he that sat upon him was called faithful and true. Who do you think that is? Praise God. And in righteousness he doth judge and make war. His eyes are a flame of fire, and on his head were many crowns. Praise the Lord. I'm going to say this right quick. You know, we've always said this about he's crowned with many crowns, but I'm going to tell you something. He's crowned you with many crowns. He's crowned you with glory and honor. He's crowned you with loving kindness and tender mercies. And he's crowned you with favor. Because he wears many crowns, you wear many crowns. Praise God. And we have to take a hold of that. You know, we were made to walk in royalty. If you look in the New Testament, you look up the word kingdom. Anywhere you see the word kingdom in the New Testament, it's the word for royalty. And you belong at the table. Praise God. Because he's made us righteous. Now we have to accept that. It doesn't sound right to our natural mind. It's not going to sound right to religious thinking that we wear many crowns and we belong at the table. But we have to accept it. We have to thank God for it. And we have to make no bones about it, because the enemy is going to try to talk you out of it. When pressures and stress come, he's going to want to make you think you're not worthy to wear that crown. He's going to want to disenfranchise you. But no, we've been adopted into his family. And because he's worthy and he's in me. You know, I found out something, that God is good. God lives in me. That makes me good. You know, many people don't believe in their own goodness. We talk about the goodness of God, but Jesus said this, and I talked about this when we were talking about money not too long ago, that Jesus said, I'm come that they may have life and life more abundantly. And those first seven words stood out to me. I am come that they may have. And if I am as he is in this world, that I am come that they may have. I am come that they may have. Life should flow out of us, praise God, because he's crowned us with many crowns. And he goes on to say this, his eyes were like a flame of fire, on his head were many crowns, and he had a name written that no man knew but he himself. And he was clothed with a vesture dipped in blood, and his name is called the Word of God. That's who we serve. That's the God we belong to, is a name called the Word of God. That being, the one that shone like sunshine to John on the Isle of Patmos, that lives in us and breathes in us, and we live in him and breathe in him. His name is called the Word of God. And we accept it today. We thank God for it, and we make no bones about it. Praise God. And you know, we honor him. This is not about living by a bunch of principles. That's legalism. Just living a bunch of principles is legalism. It's dry. It won't take you anywhere. You know, you can get so condemned about what you know because you can't keep up with your own revelation. You'll condemn yourself for not being able to keep up with all the things you know. But no, this is a living, breathing relationship with a God who lives on the inside of us, whose name is called the Word of God. And we acknowledge him. He's the God that's in us. He's put so many good things in us. Amen. It'll cause us to overcome. Praise God. And so Pastor Marcus said he began to talk about studying the Bible. So I wanted to share a little bit about how I study sometimes. When I'm studying and reading the Word, I'm looking for two things. Mainly, other things as well, but mainly two things. I'm looking for Jesus. In the Old Covenant, in every book of the Old Testament, in every chapter of the Old Testament, I'm looking for the Jesus. I'm looking for redemption and what He purchased for me. And the second thing I'm looking for me. Because that book was written to me. Praise God. And so, let's look at 2 Corinthians chapter 5. Now, we don't have time to lay a huge foundation here, but we're just going to read this verse. 2 Corinthians chapter 5. Amen. Feeding on the Word. Getting full of the Word. Praise God. You know, if you go without eating, your body gets weak. You got to feed your body, so you got to feed your spirit, man. This Word is spirit food. But it's not just reading words off a page. We're feeding on the living Christ. And we got to think about that. When you read your devotional reading, you know, I love to just read a chapter or two a day, just devotionally. I also meditate on other things. But when I'm reading that Word, I'm feeding on the living Christ. Praise God. Because He's in there. He's all throughout there. In the Old Covenant, He's concealed. But in the New Covenant, He's revealed. Amen. 2 Corinthians 5:17 says, therefore, if any man be in Christ, who's in Christ today? Praise God. I'm a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. You know, we need to lean into that new creature every day. I'm a new creature. Say that with me. I'm a new creature. I think like a new creature. I talk like a new creature. I'm going to act like a new creature. And the Spirit in me leads me to do so. Praise God. That Spirit of God on the inside of you will lead you to walk in that new creature. And he says here in verse 21, he hath made him to be sin for us who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. And then 1 Corinthians 1 talks about you're in Christ Jesus. He's made unto you wisdom, righteousness, sanctification, and redemption. But see, when I read these things, like I said, we don't have time to lay a great foundation here. Pastor Martin did a series a while back called Squeaky Clean, Being Righteous in Him. And all those are on the website and the YouTube page. Go back and listen to those for a foundation. But just accept this today. You've been made the righteousness of God in Christ. Amen. Can you accept that today? Amen. Can you make no bones about it, that I'm righteous? So when I see the word righteous or righteousness in the Bible, that gets my attention because it's talking about me. Let's just feed on a couple of these. We're not going to take time to put these on the screen. I'm going to move a little bit fast right here. But he says this in Proverbs 10, verse 2, righteousness delivers from death. Righteousness delivers from death. That's me. Say that's me. That's me. He's talking about me. Righteousness delivers from death. See, all these things that we're seeing on TV about all these horrible things happening, we need to stand up and say, no, I'm righteous and I'm delivered from death. And that stuff's not coming near my family. You've got to answer that stuff. Because the fig tree will talk to you and talk to you until it's not going to bear any fruit. You got to talk back to it. I know there's some horrible things happening and we pray for those people. But that's not coming near me. Praise God. Verse 3 says, the Lord will not suffer the soul of the righteous to famish. Say, that's me. My soul is not going to famish. He's going to take care of me. I'm always going to have extra coming in and paying stuff off early because I'm the righteousness of God. And He takes care of me. Verse 11 says, the mouth of a righteous man is a well of life. Say, that's me. My mouth is a well of life. Praise God. So you know what? How about this? Instead of being not looking forward to your sandpaper people, how about going at them like this? My sandpaper people, this Christmas and this Thanksgiving, I'm going to be a well of life to them. I'm going to speak something good into their life. Begin to acknowledge the Lord that way because He wants to help you do that. Because you were come that they may have life. You can speak a well of life into their life. He says, the desire of the righteous shall be granted. Say, that's me. That's me right there. My desire will be granted. Why? Because He loves me. Not because of anything I've done, great or small, or anything bad I've done. Because He loves me. He says in verse 25, the righteous is an everlasting foundation. Say, that's me. An everlasting foundation. I don't have to be concerned, praise God, because I'm going to stand. And he says, the righteous shall never be removed. Say, that's me. The righteousness. My righteousness is never going to be removed from me. Nobody's going to take it away from me because it was purchased for me. Yes. Amen. Verse 11, chapter 11 says this. I love this. Verse 8, the righteous is delivered out of trouble. Say, that's me. Say, I'm delivered out of trouble. You know, most of us would like this. Most of us would like to not be delivered out of trouble, but to be delivered and not ever go through any trouble. But you know what? Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego went into the fiery furnace, but they came out without the smell of smoke. Now, what we would have loved to do is say that King Nebuchadnezzar changed his mind and didn't throw us in there. To us, that would be the greatest answer to prayer, is, no, we didn't go in the furnace. Nebuchadnezzar changed his mind. Never mind, guys, y'all are cool. I have favor with Nebuchadnezzar. I'm favored. I'm not going in that fire. No, he threw them in there and they came out with the fourth man. Praise God. I'm delivered out of trouble. Verse 21 says this, but the seed of the righteous shall be delivered. Say, that's me. You worried about your kids today? The seed of the righteous will be delivered. And we got to talk that. You know, kids don't always do what's perfect in your eyes. But the seed of the righteous will be delivered. Start talking when they're little. Praise God. We talked this over our kids when they were little. Amen. Verse 28, the righteous shall flourish as a branch. So that's me. I'm going to flourish. Proverbs 12, 7 says, the house of the righteous shall stand. Say, that's me. Say, my house is going to stand. Proverbs 14, verse 9 says, among the righteous there's favor. Say, that's me. There's favor among me. I walk in favor. Praise God. Now, there are probably a couple of hundred of these that you could go through. One of my favorites is this one. Psalm 5, verse 12 says, for thou, Lord, will bless the righteous. Say, that's me. With favor, wilt thou compass him as with a shield. We have favor surrounding us, folks. Favor, favor, favor. Favor, because he loves us. I love this one here. Psalm 37, verses 25. I've been young and old, and I've not seen the righteous forsaken, nor his seed begging bread. I'm the righteousness of God. I'll never be forsaken. And my kids are not going to be in the streets begging for bread. Praise God. because I'm the righteousness of God. He made me that way. He purchased me. He redeemed me. Amen. Praise God. Like I said, continue your study on that. You want to get through the holidays with a strong spirit? Feed on these things. Feed these things into your spirit and get full. And start now. Start talking it now. Praise the Lord. Because we don't have to just accept the way that's the way it is. We don't have to just accept it. Praise God. There's a well on the inside of us. Isaiah chapter 12 talks about with joy. Now, what's a strong spirit? A joyful spirit. With joy, we shall draw water from the wells of salvation. There's a well on the inside of us that we can draw from. You know, whenever pressures and stress come, principles and all these doctrines and things that you think you know in your head will not help you. It's what's on the inside of you that'll put you over. And you can reach down on the inside of you with the hands of your tongue and draw out the salvation of God because it's in you. It's in you. Praise God. We can feed on this living Word. And you know, the more you eat, the more hungry you get. Spiritual things are not like natural things. You eat a lot and you get full. You don't want any more for a while. But when you start eating on spiritual things, you continue to get hungry for it. I'm more hungry today than I've been in my entire life for the Word. And I thought I was hungry back in the day when Melissa and I first got started. We were so hungry for the Word. You know, you'd stand in line to get in church. You don't see much of that anymore. We'd go out to meetings out in Tulsa, Oklahoma. We'd stand out in the cold. You remember those, don't you, Brother David? Stand out in the cold. I mean, one day we were out there, it was so cold, I thought if somebody walked up to me and grabbed my ear, they could just snap it off. That's how cold I was. But you know what? We were hungry for the Word. We wanted to hear. But I'm more hungry today than I ever was back then. Praise God. Amen. Now, do we really believe this stuff, or do we? Amen. Are we just mentally agreeing to it? No, we believe it. Praise God. And we can eat and drink of the Spirit. The Living Bible says this, "Oh, the joy of drinking deeply from the fountain of salvation." Drinking deeply. You know, Jesus said, if you want rivers of living water to flow out of you, the first thing you need to do is come into me and drink. You know, you got to eat, but you also got to drink. You can drink in of the Spirit. You can take a drink anytime you want to. Now, we talked about David encouraging himself. How did David encourage himself? Well, we got a book full of the Psalms that you can read. And one of my favorites is this one, Psalm 18, verses 1 and 2 and 3. He says, "I will love Thee, O Lord, my strength." Now, you imagine when David was crying till he couldn't cry anymore, he just stopped himself and said, dried his tears, and, "I will love You, O Lord, my strength." Sometimes you might have to do that. Something may hit you that you weren't expecting, and you have to stop and catch yourself and say, "I love You, Lord, my strength. The Lord is my rock and my fortress. He's my deliverer, my God and my strength, in whom I will trust. He's my buckler. He's the horn of my salvation and my high tower." That's how David encouraged himself. And he said, "I'm going to call upon the Lord who is worthy to be praised. So shall I be saved from my enemies," or my sandpaper people. "So shall I be saved." Amen. Now, I've mentioned this before a couple times. That word horn of my salvation is a very interesting word. It's the word that means flask. People that are addicted to drink have to carry it with them all the time. Now, my sister Leslie right here, she told me about this. I love this. We were talking about, we taught this in the Bible and Biscuits class a while back, and we were talking about how she began to practice this. And she said, "You know what, if I'm at work and I'm under stress and pressure," she said, "I just go in the other room and I get my flask out." I said, "What are you talking about?" She said, "I made me a flask." She wrote down some of the things that we talked about in that class, and she keeps them in her pocket. And when pressures and stress come, she goes and gets away from everything. She pulls it out and begins to talk it. She starts taking a drink. Amen. Amen. You know, we can take a drink anytime we want to. Right. Let's take a drink right now. Lord, we just thank You so much that You're our strength, Lord. You're our strength. You're our rock. No matter what we're going into in the holiday season, Lord, we're going to draw upon You. We're going to draw from the wells of salvation because that Holy Spirit in us feeds us. And out of our bellies shall flow rivers of living water. Praise God. Wells of salvation. We can feed on it. Praise God. A flask is a container of oil. You know, you carry around a container of the Holy Ghost on the inside of you. This is what David did. He strengthened himself. He spoke these things. Now, you can speak Psalms that David wrote, or you can speak your own. Kind of like I did a moment ago, talking about how caught up I am. Now, let's look at Ephesians chapter 5. Amen. Aren't you loving this morning? Lord, we love You. We praise You this morning. We thank You. Thank You that You're our rock. You're the strength of my life. Say, He's the strength of my life. Who am I going to be afraid? I'm not going to be afraid of those sandpaper people. Amen. Because there's a greater one in me. He's a greater one in me. Praise God. So, Ephesians chapter 5, verse 18 and 19. Now this is what Paul talked about getting full. He said, "Be not drunk with wine, wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit," or be drunk with the Spirit. You know the church was birthed in drunkenness? On the day of Pentecost, the church was birthed in drunkenness. You know, when you're intoxicated, you just don't care. You're carefree. They didn't care so much. Now, how in the world did all the people in Jerusalem hear what was going on in that upper room? Somebody had to go out in the streets with it. Somebody had to get out there where somebody could hear them. They didn't care. They were worshiping the Lord. They were full. And he says here, "Be not drunk with wine, but be filled with the Spirit," speaking to yourself. You know that's how you stay full of the Spirit? Speaking to yourself. It's not by listening to a teaching about speaking to yourself. It's not by listening to a worship CD. Those are good. You know, we love to listen to teaching, but hearing a teaching about staying full of the Spirit won't get you full of the Spirit. It's speaking to yourself. In psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs, making melody, singing in your own heart. Not just in church, but on a Tuesday afternoon when the wheels are running off, so to speak, and things are not going the way you want them to go, or at work when pressures and stress come, you're speaking to yourself. Praise the Lord. Speaking to yourself. Now, like I said, you can speak some of David's Psalms. You can say this. Say this with me. The Lord is my light and my salvation. The Lord is my light and my salvation. Who am I going to fear? The Lord is the strength of my life. Who am I going to be afraid of? Say, it's God that girds me with strength and makes my way perfect. Now, you can go through the book of Psalms and you can read those things and speak them to yourself, because there are literally hundreds of them, to encourage yourself. But then you can begin to speak Psalms for yourself. And if you know what? If you listen to the Lord and acknowledge Him, He'll begin to give you thanks. That's right. On the inside of you. And you'll get excited. You'll just be praying to yourself. Sometimes I'm just riding down the road and saying, you know what? I'm redeemed. I'm redeemed. I'm redeemed by the blood. I've been purchased. I've been bought. I'm in Christ. I'm redeemed. It don't have to rhyme. You know, sometimes as human beings, we want things we can write down and show to Derek and Hannah and Chad of, hey, this is a song the Lord gave me. We need to sing this. Or something to put on social media or YouTube. This is not for YouTube. This is for your tube. It's for your tube. It's not for the world. This is for you. You can just be going throughout your day saying, I'm a healed man. I'm a strong man. I've been washed in the blood. I'm a healed man. I'm a strong man. Purchased and bought. I walk in victory. I live in victory. I'm going to overcome. Doesn't have to be long and flowery or rhyme. Praise God. But you begin to speak and make melody in your heart to yourself. Now, I'll give you another one. The Lord gave me this. I got up one morning and it was just one of those days. You've had those days where you get up and you just didn't feel it. I'm not feeling it today. You know, just kind of feel like 40 miles of muddy road this morning. Just don't feel it. And I said, Lord, you know what? I'm going to choose to rejoice and be glad today because you made this day for me. And so these words just kind of came up to me. Just said, I look forward to this day the Lord has made. I'm going to rejoice and be glad as I go my way. I'm so excited, I just can't wait. I'm ready to start. It's going to be great. I'm not afraid of pressure or stress. I'm trusting the Lord. I'm expecting the best. I'll easily accomplish everything I need to do because the greater one in me is going to see me through. I see, you've got to talk that way. Praise God. Talk that way. Draw on the one on the inside of you. I started saying, I'll be a blessing to the world wherever I go. I'm a cheerful giver. I'm looking for ways to sow. Amen. I'm here to bring life to anyone I greet. I'm helpful and generous to anyone I meet. That's the way I want to live. Praise God. Amen. I begin to say this. Good things happen to me all the time. His favor on me causes me to shine. Amen. And then I would say this, the spirit of increase is upon my house today. That's all I'm going to talk, and that's all I'm going to say. Praise God. I see, you got to talk this way when you don't feel like it. When the pressure and the stress comes, and it hits you because it's not going to come when you expect it. And let me tell you something, guys. You're never going to feel like it. Ever are you going to feel like when the pressure and the stress comes. Praise God. But remember, the greater one on the inside will rise up big in you. and give illumination to your mind and direction to your spirit and put you over in your time of need, praise God. Amen. And you can just speak that way. You know, he said, he mentioned hymns. You know, I know those of us that grew up by now, I did not grow up in an organized denominational church, okay? I got filled with the Holy Ghost when I was 12 years old in a living room in Tarrant City, in just a home meeting. When I was growing up, my family went to home meetings. And I didn't know anything about the Bible. We didn't know anything about healing. We just knew if Grandma prayed for us, we'd get healed. That's all we knew. And so as a young person, all I knew was they told me if I'd speak in tongues, that my name would be written in the Lamb's Book of Life and I'd go to heaven. I thought, well, no brainer. But that's all we knew. Praise God. And so I didn't know anything about hymns growing up. Now, my wife grew up in the Baptist church and she knew hymns. And the hymnals they put, you know, in the pocket behind the pew. Well, I didn't have any idea. So when I began to play in church, and I've been playing in church for the better part of 40 years now, but really longer than that. But the first time that someone asked me to play a hymn, they said, "Do you know Just As I Am?" I said, "No, how does it go?" Had no clue. I just wasn't raised that way. So anytime I would hear the word hymns, I would revert back to that's something written in the 1800s somewhere. But you know, the most simple definition of a hymn is a song of praise to God. Any song of praise to God. You're worthy of it all. What a beautiful name it is. These songs we sing every day when we're worshiping God and singing to Him, whether it's something that you sing from your own spirit or something that you know, but it's a song of praise to God. But singing, making melody in our hearts to the Lord. Praise the Lord. It's how we stay full of the Holy Ghost. Amen? Amen. Stand up with me for just a moment. Praise God. Let's just begin to thank God and worship Him this morning. Lord, we thank You. We thank You that You're here today, Lord. You're with us. Your Spirit is in us and with us. And You are a way maker, Lord. You are a miracle worker. And we're trusting You today, Lord. We're going to go into these holidays with a strong spirit, full of the Word, full of the Spirit of God, because we're drinking of You. Let's take a drink today, just drinking of His presence. Worship Him and thank Him. Think of something that He's done for you lately and just begin to thank Him. Lord, I thank You. Thank You, Lord, You're so good to us today. You're so worthy. You're so worthy. You're so worthy. You know, in heaven, whenever you see people worshiping in heaven, they're talking about how worthy He is. Worthy is the Lamb who was slain to receive wisdom and honor and glory and blessing and strength. Worthy is the Lamb. Praise God. We thank You, Lord. We thank You, Lord. We thank You, Lord. We praise You. That His glory is upon us today. His glory is upon us today. Praise God. There's seeds on the inside of each and every one of us that the rain is falling on today. The rain is falling on us today. Just take a drink. Take a drink. Praise God. Glory to God. Hallelujah. And let's take what we've heard today. And let's stay full. Praise God. As we go into this season, begin to declare ahead of time that this is going to be the easiest thing we ever did. You know, the Lord began to deal with me about that a couple of years ago when I faced hard things. Just start saying, no, that'll be easy for me. The greater one in me is going to see me through. That's going to be easy for me. I don't talk, it's going to be hard. I talk, I'm going to overcome. Praise the Lord. It'll be easy. Why? Because you know what? He said, my yoke is easy. My burden is light. So many times people want to bear a cross and say, this is a cross He's given me to bear. Well, if He did, it's light. Made out of balsa wood or something. Because anything Jesus puts on you is light. Why? Because He's there to help you carry it along. Praise God. The greater one in you. Oh, I hear the greater one. The greater one. The greater one in me. The greater one leads me to victory. The greater one's greater than stress. The greater one's greater than pressure. The greater one's greater than anything I face. Amen. He's greater than the enemy I face. Yes. He's greater than people I deal with. He's greater than the ugly ones. The people that want to be ugly to me, He's greater. And He'll put me over, praise God. The greater one. The greater one. Say the greater one.
The greater one
rises up in me. And He's going to put me over. And I'll come behind nowhere. Praise God. Because He's greater. Amen.